You know, Jared mentioned to me earlier about the insert in the bulletin about the pancake breakfast next week. He said those times are, well, half the times are wrong. The 10:15 time is right, but the start time is actually 9 a.m. And they're trying to raise funds for the mission trip to New York in the latter part of July. So if you want to eat some pancakes and make a donation, or just make a donation, or just come eat pancakes, any of those options, you can come next week at 9 o'clock, and that'll last till 10:15. Happy Father's Day, fathers. God bless you. I'm just going to jump right into the sermon this morning. And in the immortal words of Jeff Hatcher, turn with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians. I've always wanted to say that. I've been practicing that all week. It's a tongue twister. 1 Corinthians 2, 11 through 16. The words will be on the screen as well. 1 Corinthians 2, 11 through 16. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same ways, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. We have understanding of what God's given us. Not total understanding, but we can have understanding. Verse 13, this is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. A man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgment about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? That's a question. And this next statement is what I want to focus on this morning, and it's significant. It says, but we have the mind of Christ. It's not that we can get the mind of Christ or we can attain the mind of Christ maybe at some point. We have the mind of Christ as believers in Jesus. With the Holy Spirit living inside of us, church, that ought to be a game changer for us. Amen. Us having the mind of Christ. I have a few thoughts I want to share about that this morning, but before I do that, let's pray. God, I thank you for this time. Oh God, you're such a good, good Father. And we love you and we praise you this morning. Happy Father's Day, Father. We adore you. We worship you. We cherish who you are. And us as men, us as fathers, we don't have to look more beyond you as to see just an excellent pattern as to how to father. And you father us so well. So bless you this morning, God, for who you are. And Lord, as we walk through this scripture, as we look at the reality about us having the mind of Christ, would you open up our minds? Holy Spirit, would you give us ears to hear the truth this morning about this topic? And Lord, I just pray that we're all changed this morning because we're in your presence and you're here and we're opening your word. And we dedicate this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We have the mind of Christ, Scripture says. I want to give you just a definition of the mind. The mind is the element of a person, and this is too long to write down, so you may just want to listen. The element of a person that enables them to be aware of the world and their experiences, to think and to feel. That's a shorter portion. You may be able to write that down. And it's the faculty of consciousness and thought. And you know, our mind is wrapped up in our brain, and you know, our brain is contains the mind, but I guess the definition of our brain would be something different. Our brain controls 12 body systems, the circulatory system, the respiratory system, the digestive system, and I'm not going to bore you with the other nine. But, you know, the brain controls body functions that we don't have to think about. You know, I'm grateful that I don't have to think, well, did I just inhale or did I exhale? Well, that's important stuff. And we don't have to think about that. The brain just allows us to function. It does that for us. But the mind is you know, where we are aware of things. The mind allows us to process our thoughts. It allows us to make decisions. It allows us to form opinions. And you know, emotions originate from the mind. I mean, something happens, and it depends on how we respond to this particular something. Here's an example. I've got a guy that's owed me $1,000 since 1980. And I'm probably not going to get that money. Probably not going to get it. So if he comes to mind, you know, I can either say, I'm never going to get it, or I can just, that guy ripped me off. He owes me $1,000. And I can respond in such a way, whether either it's I can extend grace or I can just get angry about it. I have that choice. I have that choice. And, you know, the mind, spiritually, the mind is where the battle lies. It really is. I mean, there's some good books. Joyce Myers wrote a book, Battlefield of the Mind. I've never read it, but it's helped some people, and I recommend it. It's the only book I've never read that I recommend. She has some incredible things to say about that, but that's where the battle takes place. It's in the mind, between our ears. Every day we fight this fight. Are we going to have thoughts that are pleasing to God? Are we going to allow things to discourage us? Are we going to allow things to, you know, to move us in a direction that's not positive? Or are we going to take those thoughts captive and experience joy, peace, love, and patience? I mean, I think we have decisions we can make on a daily basis that depends on how our day goes. I really believe that. I believe we have choices we can make. You know, we don't have to be discouraged, church. We don't have to be. And we don't have to necessarily be depressed, even though I know that there's clinical reasons why people are depressed, and there's reasons why people take medication. I've got a nephew that's 40 years old, and if he doesn't take his depression medication, man, it's not good for him or it's not good for his family. So I understand that. I also know a lady that took depression medication all her life. She gave her heart to Jesus. Guess what? She wasn't depressed anymore. And so, you know, medication will never solve a spiritual issue. And I understand there's clinical reasons why people are discouraged, depressed, anxious. But you know, we have choices we can make to where we don't go that direction with our mind, because we have the mind of Christ. That's significant for us. So how do we appropriate the mind of Christ? Scripture says we have it. I mean, we don't have to learn a certain amount of scripture to get it. We have it right now. So how can we appropriate the mind of Christ? How can that play out in our life on a daily basis? First thing is we need to have heavenly thoughts. We need to have heavenly thoughts. Let's look at Colossians 3, chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Since then you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. And I just want to focus on verse 1 and 2. In the NIV, in verse 1, it says, set your hearts on things above. In verse 2, it says, set your mind on things above. And I'm not against the NIV. This particular use of the word set in verse 1 is not really the best word that could have been used there. That word is actually seek. Seek the things that are above. Seek in order to find, or actually crave those things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. You know, there's this reality that I'm still trying to unpackage. I don't know if I'll ever understand this, but Ephesians 2:6 says that right now, you and I are seated in the heavenlies with Christ. Right now, you and I are seated there. That's our position. Now, I see you here, and you see me here. We're at 3430 Antley Road. We're doing church this morning. But there's this strong spiritual connection to where you and I are seated in the heavenlies right now with Christ Jesus. And we're told to crave that. We're told to seek that. Seek so we'll find. I mean, has anybody ever played hide and seek? I guess, maybe as a kid. Hopefully adults aren't doing that, but as kids, I mean, we're seeking to find somebody, and we don't quit until that person is found. That's the picture. Seek the things that are above. In the second verse, it says, set our mind on things above, not on earthly things. And this means for us to turn our affections toward God, turn our affections toward things that are above, and be intensely interested in what's going on there. And we're supposed to focus that direction and not focus on earthly things. And I think for us Christians, I'm just going to say it, okay? Grew up Baptist. I believe that my salvation is secure. I believe that. I don't think I'm going to mess that up. I really don't. Not because of Billy Crimm, but because Jesus is able to save completely those who come to him. He can do that for me. Okay? And I'm going to fight till I draw my last breath for salvation. I'm going to fight for it. I'm not giving up. I'm not. And so I don't think for me my eternal destiny is not at stake, but my daily victory absolutely is at stake. You know, the enemy is trying to take me out. He's trying to discourage me. And if I turn my affections away from him and towards something else, man, I can easily walk around in defeat. I really can. I want to confess to you something this morning. I'm not cheating on my wife. I'm not doing that. I'm not going out and getting drunk every night. That's not the confession, okay? But you know, I have a tendency to lose my focus on the very throne room of God where I'm seated up there with him. And I don't know if that's a million miles away or 15 feet away. I don't understand that connection in the spiritual realm, but I'm seated there with him. And you know, I can turn my affections away from him. And I can spend probably way too much time reading news, trying to stay informed. And I don't think there's anything wrong with us staying informed. I don't have a tangible piece of paper I hold on to, but I read news electronically. And you know what? That wears me out. My goodness, we can focus on the things of this world. And if you read secular news, none of it's good. None of it's good. We can get on Christian websites, and man, there's encouraging things going on. There's this incredible revival going on in West Virginia. Did y'all know about that? The Spirit of God is blowing through West Virginia. It's incredible. But you're not going to read that on Yahoo's webpage or homepage or Fox News or CNN. And it wears me out. And I can find myself discouraged, which I have. I can find myself frustrated, and some days I feel like I have absolutely no hope because I have turned my affections away from the throne room of God and have turned them onto towards earthly things. And I'm just going to pinpoint a couple of things. I love you as I say this, okay? But there are things on this earth that can distract us. You know, we can turn our affections towards sports, and I like sports. I really do. I'm not saying sports are of the devil. Please don't misunderstand that. I mean, I like sports. But if we turn our affections or we intensely crave something about sports, and we know more statistics about individual players and teams than we know the Word of God, where have we turned our affections? I like watching movies. Carlene and I, we got a couple of programs we watch. We binge watch a couple of programs. Everybody know what that means? If you don't know what binge watch, I see Betty's back there looking at me like, what are you talking about binge watching? It's just sitting around and vegetating, watching just some show over and over again. And so we like to watch Monk. We like to watch Psych. Sometimes we binge watch and just do that. So I'm not against that. I'm not against entertainment. I'm not against movies. But listen, let me throw something out here. If we know every line in a particular movie and we can't quote one scripture, where's our affections? Where's our affections turn? What are we intensely interested in? So, church, if we are to have the mind of Christ, if we are to appropriate that, we have to have heavenly thoughts. It starts there. It starts there. Second thing is that we have to have our minds renewed. We have to have our minds renewed. And this is it's an ongoing process every day. Romans 12, 1 and 2, scripture that most all of us are familiar with. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship, verse 2 is what I want to focus on. Do not conform any longer. It's almost like, hey, stop it. You've been conforming. Don't do that anymore. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It sounds like we are either being transformed or we're conforming. We're headed one direction or the other. And Paul says, stop, no longer. Don't do this. Allow your minds to be, or be transformed by allowing your minds to be renewed. This word transformed in the Greek is metamorpho, I believe, is how you pronounce that. We get our English word metamorphosis. That's the process that a caterpillar goes through to become a butterfly. So there's some transformation. There's a difference there. You started with a caterpillar, you end up with a butterfly through this process. And so something's different. There's transformation. And transformation happens by our minds being renewed. And this word renewed literally means to renovate. Renovate. Remodel, perhaps. Has anybody ever been through any kind of remodel at their house? I've got a 19-year remodel going on at our house right now. It's crazy. And Carlene comes up with this new project, and I'm in the middle. I'm always in the middle of something. And she wants me to do, don't tell her I said this. She wants me to do something. I said, oh, man, put it on the list because I'm in the middle of this, what's going on here. But, you know, we've been remodeling our house. We've been repainting, and it's amazing what a fresh coat of paint will do for a room. It just brightens it up. It brightens us up. And, you know, we're excited about what God's allowed us to do around our house. And so we need to do that with our minds. There needs to be freshness there. I'm not saying paint our minds, but you know, we need to have our minds renewed, renovated on a daily basis so we don't conform to the pattern of the world. And here's some scripture that maybe will help us in regard to how we renew our minds. Philippians 4:8 is a good one, if we have that on the screen. Y'all are familiar with this scripture. It says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. That word think means to consider, to take into account, or to process, or to meditate. I mean, we need to make the decision, because we have the mind of Christ, to let our minds dwell and focus on those things, the things that are pure and lovely. And we can do that, church. You know, we have authority over our minds. We have authority to do that. The enemy comes in. Man, it's like I'm standing there and he just runs through my mind with a thought. And I'm thinking, where did that come from? But, you know, I have the authority because I have the mind of Christ to either camp out there or I'm not going to go there this time. I'm going to think about things that are pure and lovely and right and noble. We need to allow our minds to dwell there, to camp out there, not an overnight stay at a motel. You know, we need to be consistent. We need to dwell. We need to take inventory of what's going on in our mind. So in order for us to appropriate the mind of Christ, we can have heavenly thoughts, we can have our minds renewed, and the third thing is that we need to have our minds ready for action. Our minds need to be ready for action. Everybody okay? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, good. Have our minds ready for action. 1 Peter 1:13. It says, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. First part of that verse, prepare our minds for actions. Now, other translations says for us to gird our minds. The King James, and I'm almost embarrassed to say this, but it's scripture, says gird the loins of your minds. Now, that brings images, I'm sure, for a lot of us. What does that mean? Gird the loins of our mind. That's weird stuff. Well, in biblical times, people would wear long flowing robes. Men and women would wear these robes. And when they were in a leisurely state, the robes would be flowing. They would be down. Well, if something would take place, like work perhaps, some sporting event, especially when it comes to battle, the men would take and they would tie sashes around their robes, and they would draw up the part that flowed from their waist down. They would draw that up, and they would hook it up and to where there's almost looked like they had bloomers on or some kind of shorts on or something like that, would give them the ability to either run towards the enemy or run away from the enemy, you know, if they were losing that particular battle. So that's the picture. It says, prepare, gird your minds for action. Be ready. And Peter doesn't say, okay, let's gird it up for a day. He said, let's get it up and keep it up. Have our minds have to be ready for action. One of my favorite sets of scripture is 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 5. It speaks about this. It speaks about spiritual warfare. Such a good set of verses. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. We don't struggle against flesh and blood, church. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. That scripture says that we're in a war. We're in a war, and we don't fight with the weapons of this world. As a matter of fact, we fight with weapons that have divine power to demolish strongholds. And those could be strongholds in the mind. You know, this scripture talks about arguments and pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. It could be untruths that park in our brain. You know, we have the power through the Holy Spirit and us having the mind of Christ. We can dismiss those things that are not true about who God is. And it says we take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. Not every other thought, not 30% of our thoughts. Paul says we take, and I'm not sure who we are, whoever he was doing ministry with, we take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. And I'm thinking, you know, every thought? And then I got to thinking, how many thoughts could that be? Maybe in a day. Well, I did a little research. And depending on which psychologist or whoever does study on our thought process, we have anywhere from 12,000 to 80,000 thoughts on a daily basis. You know, and that's quite a broad range. And it's kind of comical that the people that think they have 12,000, man, they're gonna fight on that hill against the people that think you have 80. And there's just this little conflict going on in the thought study world. It's kind of comical. But we have anywhere from 12,000 to maybe perhaps up to 80,000 thoughts per day. And those are thoughts we're cognizant of, we're aware of, not the involuntary thoughts that tells our heart to pump and move blood through our system, or involuntary thoughts. So I broke that down. If we have, let's take the bottom number, just a conservative number. If we have 12,000 thoughts a day, that's 750 thoughts per hour. 12 thoughts per minute, so that's a thought every 5 seconds conservatively. And maybe perhaps that's a thought every second. This is waking hours, by the way, 16 hours a day. Perhaps every second we have a thought. And so Paul says, take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. Can we actually do that? Is it possible to do that? Well, I think it is. For one thing, we have the mind of Christ and we can do that. And secondly, God is not going to encourage us, command us, admonish us to do something and not equip us to do that. You know, he doesn't say, be holy for I am holy, and then sits back and laughs at us as we struggle for holiness. He's not that kind of God. So if he gives us something to do, encourages us to do that, he is absolutely going to equip us to do that. So church, we can take every thought captive. You know, we don't have to entertain this thought. As I said, the devil, for me, it's almost like he runs in front of me and he's pulling this little banner, like an airplane flying around pulling a banner, and there's this thought. And now what am I going to do with it? Am I going to entertain it or am I going to dismiss it? You know, I had this trying to think about maybe what this might look like. Taking thoughts captive. Let's say that we're working quality control at a place where they harvest fruit. Okay, and so we're standing by this conveyor belt, and all day long we watch peaches go by. Peaches are going by. And our job is to grab the peaches that are bad and discard them. Take them captive and discard them. And in a sense, I think that's... We have to be so connected to the throne room that when these thoughts come in, we can take them captive and dismiss them. We really can. So why does this even matter? Or does it matter? What does it matter if we don't take every thought captive? Well, like I said, I don't think our eternal destiny is at stake as much as our daily victory is at stake. And you know, for me, I need to be doing that. I need to appropriate the mind of Christ. I need to be walking that out on a daily basis because there's people that depend on me. You might not, but there's people that depend on me. And I need to hear from the Lord. Jeff needs to be appropriating the mind of Christ. Any church staff, that their church deserves a staff that are so focused on who God is and such control of their thoughts that they're walking in fullness of who God called them to be. Every church deserves that from a staff. And your staff needs to be that way. You know, parents of children, y'all need the mind of Christ. Y'all need the mind of Christ. I mean, when your children come home and ask you about what's going on in our culture, how do I respond to this and that, and the gender confusion and bathroom confusion? I mean, what are you going to tell them? Parents, you need the mind of Christ. Grandparents, you need the mind of Christ. Church, we need to appropriate that in order for God to be glorified and us to walk in absolute victory. So we do that by having our minds ready for action, having our minds renewed, and for us having heavenly thoughts. Praise team, go ahead and come up. You know, I just want to speak to some of you here this morning, or maybe this will end up on the internet. Maybe it's somebody on the internet, I'm not sure. There's about 7 or 8 people who watch our sermons, so that's, I don't know what that possibility is, but because I've been here, I had listened to a teaching series a couple of years ago on thinking brilliantly about things, and it really changed my perspective. And because I realized that I absolutely had authority over my thought life, I just thought I was stuck. Discouragement, I just thought I was stuck. I just thought maybe I'm supposed to be discouraged for the rest of my life. And God gives me the ability, by having the mind of Christ, to take those thoughts captive. And so there may be some of you here this morning that you're just kind of stuck there. You've been running around in this squirrel cage over and over and over again, processing these same thoughts, and you're just stuck spinning your wheels. And I've got a word for you this morning, and I don't say this lightly. I mean, I'm kind of nervous about people that say, I've got a word from the Lord. But I think I have a word for you this morning. I really do. And I'm not a prophet. I'm not the son of a prophet. But I have a word for you this morning. That word is stop. Just stop. Take those thoughts captive. Dismiss them. Think pure thoughts. Think heavenly thoughts. Turn your affections away from that situation, away from what's going on, and turn them towards the Father. It'll make all the difference in the world. It's that simple. It's that simple. And you may want to pray. Sometimes it helps to pray that out with somebody, and if you want to do that, I'll be down front. If you have any other issues you want to pray about, you can visit with me or grab Jeff. And you know, if you've never given your life to Christ, boy, what a great day today is for you to do that. What a great day, a glorious day to do that if you don't know who Jesus is. I encourage you to come and meet him this morning. Pray with me. Father, we thank you, God, for this time. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you that we're victors and we're not victims. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. We thank you for giving us the mind of Christ. Holy Spirit, would you help us to walk that out in such a way that our thought life doesn't determine how our day goes in a bad way. Lord, it's easy for us to talk ourselves or think ourselves out of a good day. Lord, we thank you for the power that rests inside of us. Our God, we love you. We praise you. How great is our God. How great you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand and let's worship together.
Say how great is
Isn't he great, church? Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Can we do that? Oh, he is great. He is good. He is good. Well, men, fathers, God bless you. I hope you feel special today. And, you know, let's make a commitment to seek the Lord as we father our children. And you may have children that are 60 years old. You know, my little mama, who's the only person I'm really afraid of, by the way, she worries about me all the time. She wants the best for her sons. She absolutely wants the best for her sons. And so I don't think we ever quit being a father to our children. So let's seek the Lord about what it means to be a good, good father that's pleasing to Him. God bless you. Have a great day.
How great is our God. Say with me, how great is our God. And I will see how great. How great is our God.
How great is our God.
How great is our God. Say with me. And all will see.